up, everybody? We're back. A brand new episode of R2C2 in the middle of the NFL playoffs, getting ready for Championship Sunday. And C and I get to chat this week with somebody who's just become a total star on the media scene. And we get to dive into aspects of that, as well as the NFL playoffs, some NBA thoughts as well, what he sees coming for the championship games. But somebody we've had on the show before, and he's just blown up even more over the last few years since we last had him on. That's Nate Burleson. You guys watch him on CBS NFL Today. Used to be on Good Morning Football, of course, on NFL Network. Now is on CBS Mornings, covering everything, news, weather, all of it. Doing an unbelievable job on that as well. He's just about as versatile and talented as it gets. He's won Emmys back-to-back years. A former wide receiver who has turned into a total media star. And he's just awesome. He is an awesome perspective on everything we talk about. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this conversation, as well as feel teed up for the championship games on Sunday. So without further ado, here is Nate Burleson with CC and me on R2C2.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, first of all, thanks for coming back, Nate. It's been a while. You've just continued to absolutely crush it in your career, which anyone who's ever watched you or listened to you could have predicted on day one. But I'm glad we get to talk to you again, and thank you for making time during such a busy time of your schedule, too, man.
Of course, man. Come on now. There's a lot going on, baby. I mean, you know, there's football, there's NBA. What are we going to talk Shannon Sharp on the sideline, or do you want to talk in the AFC Championship game?
Man,
I mean, I'll go with whatever direction.
I want to talk about your schedule, first of all, because I know I did that Good Morning Football schedule for a week, and I was dead by Friday. So I know what the CBS morning's like. What's the schedule like these days?
Yeah, I remember, CC, you were like, hey, bro, I don't know how you do it.
Ruko, by Wednesday, I was like, what the fuck did I get myself into? Like, this is ridiculous.
No, it is. And it still is quite ridiculous. The news schedule, I'm waking up a little bit earlier. You know, for Good Morning Football, we'll wake up around 4:45. Now I wake up at 4 a.m. I want to get into the city. I like to be the first one in the studio. Just so I can prepare for the show. You know, in football, there's this revolving door of information that we live in because we're working in the football space. But when you're working in news, you have to be knowledgeable about everything. It could be social issues on a national level. It could be weather internationally. It could be politics one day. Go to sleep with one thing on your mind, thinking you know what the show is going to be. And then you wake up and we're pretty much tearing up the show and starting with a new lead block because something happened overnight. Then not to mention we have guests. So
yeah.
It's one of those shows where you have to be on your toes because you might not have a ton of time. It's 2 hours, but there's not a ton of time for us to just talk. This isn't a sports show, so we're not debating about anything. We're just front row seats to the news, and then we deliver that news to the viewer. But I think what gives me the most fear is having 30 seconds and not have done my homework or not as be knowledgeable about a specific topic. And then in 30 seconds, I blow it. And that's what I think about every day. It's the same thing when you're dealing in sports, as we all know, but in news, I just don't want that judgment for anybody to say, oh, see, gotcha. I told you.
Yeah.
I told you he didn't know what he was doing. I told you he doesn't belong there. So I'm always on top of it.
Did you always think, oh, I want to get into news or I want to venture into something beyond sports when it comes to the media world?
When I left the game, I had three things that were on my mind. It was media. At this time, I owned an Italian restaurant in Seattle. And then I was dipping my toe in the water of working in finances and helping guys invest their money. And I didn't know which one I wanted to go in full throttle. But then as I got into TV, I realized that my voice was unique. And more than that, like we're all very similar in the sense that we might love a certain sport where people identify us with that sport, but we're sports junkies. So for me, I had all of these different loves. Like, I love the NBA. I love baseball. I love football. And I love rugby, random boxing and MMA. So all these different things that I felt like I wanted to talk about, I couldn't do it if I was just doing football. And then I started to open up even more on Good Morning Football. And thank you to the NFL Network, because I started showing my love for hip hop and writing poetry. And then I started talking about investing. And as I started to open up myself, it seems like the world in the media space started to do the same, which is why when I talk to guys, I say, the sooner you find your voice, if you want to go into TV, the better it will be for you. Because oftentimes we come in and we want to be like who we're looking at. So I thought, all right, I got to be like Irvin, Dion, Marshall Faulk, you know, Stuart Scott, sprinkled in some Scott Van Pelt, Jimmy V. I'm thinking of all these guys that influenced me as a viewer. But then when I found my own voice, my own personality, in came Extra calling to do some entertainment. And then CBS, they started to open up the doors to the other side of the building, which I never even been on. Yeah. They're like, hey, we want you to come do a hit at the digital side. I'm like, digital side? I didn't even know what digital side. And then I walk in, bro, it's a whole different building. They got brand new TVs and cubicles everywhere. I'm like, what? So sports people don't get invited over here? It's the time where people have seen all of the different things that I'm into.
Nah, I think it's cool because Good Morning Football is a great platform for that, because you guys get a chance to show y'all like your personality. It's not just the X's and O's of the game. It's like for the viewer and the fan.
Yeah.
And it like really lets you into like the guys who are giving you the information. So you get to really know, you know, whether it's you or Schrager or, you know, whoever right. else is on the show, because you're really into it, because it's your personality that the viewer is getting a chance to see.
Spot on, bro. And that's why I'm thankful for that show. It was unique at first because it was just four people talking football. But the more that we got into it, the more that the show allowed us to just be us. You know what I mean? And you're starting to see that. Like, it's not so straight-laced and traditional as it used to be. And that isn't taking a shot at what TV and media and radio once was, but there's an evolution. And you can do both. You can put on a suit and tie and talk hardcore X's and O's. But then you can also dress it down and put on a hoodie and give the same type of passion and talk about any other sport that you love.
Nate, what do you do when it's a topic that maybe has great import to a lot of people, but maybe is not something that you're either particularly passionate about or, you know, well-versed on prior to a show? Obviously, as you've detailed and as we all know, you do your homework on everything. What do you do when you're in those scenarios and it's like you don't really have a strong opinion, but you're sort of being asked to have one?
That's a really, really good question. You know, I'll take you back to a moment I had at Extra when I was talking entertainment every day. And I remember walking in after doing Good Morning Football. It's already been a long morning. And everybody on staff was like, oh my gosh, did you hear the news? And I was like, what news? And I thought it was going to be just some groundbreaking news. They hit me with it. They were like, Ben Affleck and J-Lo, they've been spotted together. And I was like, what? And they were so excited, right? And I don't know, it was the fatigue of the week and the day. And I wasn't that excited in the moment. And I couldn't muster up that false enthusiasm. And they kind of read that. They were like, you all right? I was like, yeah, it's just every day coming in and talking about the same celebrity gossip. I don't know, it's tough for me. You know, we're talking football and I'm starting to dip my toe in news. And she said something, and I have to give her credit. It's one of our producers at Extra. She said, so to people who watch our show, their news is celebrity gossip. There are people that tune in to watch us that can care less about football, that can care less about politics, that can care less about fashion. They want to know who's dating who and who got fired from what movie set. And I never thought about it like that. So it's like specific topics that might not be in your wheelhouse or you're not passionate about.
Yeah.
They are new. That's news to somebody. So I say all that. I wanted to reference that because there's certain things where we could be talking about and it might not necessarily be my wheelhouse, but I have to put enough work in to study and then be passionate about. If we're talking it, like politics, people, when I first got on, it wasn't like, they're like, all right, Nate, thanks for joining the show. You're going to sit this segment out. They were like, nah, bruh, like you're in it.
You're right in it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're starting off. We're talking about Trump. We're going to talk about Biden. We're going to have some politicians in. We got midterms coming up and we need you to get involved in the conversation. So there was nothing inside me that had this overwhelming sense of passion. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to corner him with some of these fastballs. I was like, nah. I was like, you know what? I got to study enough to know what they want to talk about and then have enough in my pocket in case I want to rebuttal anything. So, yeah, that's how I get past that, because let's just call it what it is. There are moments. I can't wake up every day and be passionate about everything, because we're talking celebrities, we're talking movies and music, we're talking politics, and then we have world issues, we have national issues. It's tough to be passionate about all these things. But one thing I learned in media, and this just isn't for CBS Mornings, it's when you study something long enough, you're like, I'm so prideful that I want you to hear my point now. Like I spent my downtime the night before prepping for this interview. I woke up early and was first in the studio just so I could have something to say. And if I don't, I walk away with the same sense of pride. I was prepared just in case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So interesting, man.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
That really is. And I admire you doing it, man, because there's also, you know, as all of us know who talk in any kind of platform, especially extemporaneously for any sort of time, there's a pressure, first of all, just on a performance level, right? There's like a certain adrenaline that comes with it. Secondly, there's a pressure because of the scrutiny that comes with every word that's spoken publicly.
Stakes are high, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Stakes are high. Listen, I thought that people said, bro, what? You think Russell Wilson is good as Aaron Rodgers? I thought that got on my nerves. Man, yeah. I want to go back to those days. All the Twitter fingers. I'll take that 10 times out of 10. It's a whole different ball game when people tweet you and they're like, Nate, I can't believe you went to the other side. Yeah. Nate, you have to be a respected wide receiver. You have turned your back on your country. Nate, I can't believe what you said about Herschel Walker. And I'm like, bro, I'm delivering the news. Yeah. I have given my opinion one time. Yeah. I am literally reading the stories as they come to us. That's the craziest part. And what I learned in sports, people will take what you say and they take it verbatim. That's the problem, because they're like, all right, I don't care if he's debating. I don't care if he's trying to set up the game or tee up the game. I'm taking his words verbatim and I want to argue him. I'm going to hit him up on social media. But in news, I realize people hear what they want. And most of the time, if they have an opinion, they're stuck on that opinion. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn, like, this isn't sports. You can't tweet back at somebody and then them say, oh, you know, I see your side of it. You know what? Russell Wilson is pretty good. It's not like that. And I'll give you another story. Hey, people love stories. I'll give you one. I haven't even told it to anybody.
Yeah.
So I brought up Herschel Walker because, you know, we were talking about Herschel just like everybody else going into the midterms. And we were just reading the news. And I happened to be reading it that day. And it was just introing to one of our correspondents that was in Atlanta. And I didn't give my opinion, delivered it in and out. Didn't add any extras, no facial expressions, didn't speak with my body, didn't do any of those things. This guy hits me up. He says, Nate, I can't believe you. I used to love you as a receiver, and here you are. You're on the other side. And now I'm curious, because I feel like I can have a conversation with a sports fan, a sports junkie, and at some point we'll just get to some understanding. Mm-hmm. Whether they still want to call me an idiotic sportscaster or not. This guy, he kept going. He's like, No, you're on the other side now. I'm like, what's the other side? Well, the other side of the political spectrum, and you're sitting here talking about another football player. And I said, sir, I'm just reporting the news. And he said, no, I can't believe you. Herschel Walker is a man of the people. He's a man of your people. And then I said, all right, that's fine. But tell me what I said about him that hasn't been reported already. And then he said something I'll never forget. He said, you know what? You will never be to Black people what Herschel Walker, Candace Owens, and Kanye West is. And I was like, so you think that those are the three people that are representing us right now? And he said, and then his response was, oh, you think I'm racist? I said, no, I'm just asking you a question. And then he said, you know what? I'm friends with plenty of blacks.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I said, I said, well, the fact that you called them the blacks, so then he sends me 20 photos of him with black people. And I said, bro, I'm not calling you a racist. I just wanted to understand why you were so upset with me. And that's when I realized it's different in news because people hear what they want to hear. And oftentimes they don't want to have a cordial conversation. Like they want to get their point across by any means.
Hey, and they don't want to get to an understanding.
No, not at all. Not
you went real deep with this guy, man. I might have stopped after tweet number two.
Right, I should have.
Oh my gosh. But it is, it's amazing. It's a totally different world. And you know what the other thing is? And move into some different things in a moment, but like, it's just, there's not right now a great medium for bridging those gaps, you know, there really isn't because on your forum, right? Like that's not the place that somebody's going to come in and say, you know, I was thinking this, but now I'm thinking this, right? Like you're not doing that in 30 second sound bites. You're not doing that with the pressure of an audience who expects you to think a certain thing or react a certain way to something. And oh, by the way, if you were team this, but you happen to react differently to this one thing, well, now we don't know what box to put you in, you know, and I can't deal with that either. And, you know, whereas like these kind of conversations, honestly, are probably our best medium for, you know, diving more into nuance. But it's I don't envy you, Nate, because like that is it's a totally different level of pressure and scrutiny and stakes. Yeah. And as you've just detailed for us, there's no real way to win.
There is no real way to win. And you're right. You know, if we compare it to sports, there's home and away. That's all it is for us. And that's what I realized. Like people have their home jerseys, their home team. And if you're on the different, on the other side of religion, race, social issues, politics, schools, sexual gender, sexual orientation, you're on the away team. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because like you said, the person that could be standing next, your neighbor could be on your team. And then he might say something or she might say something like, give me your jersey, go to the other side. And that's what I realized.
Yeah, man. Oh, so what'd you think of Shannon Sharp?
Oh, so Uncle Sharp. I just want to know what Sharp really said, because I guess Dylan Brooks was going at him. There were some F-bombs being thrown around, and then Sharp got up. You know what I'm saying? And Sharp was up there talking his talk. He's like, hey, you don't want these problems. You don't want these problems. Because I've never seen Sharp get real mad. The most I've seen him get is when he gets into it with Skip. He's like, come on, Skip. Come on, Skip.
That's it. Yeah.
He said, Skip, he was like, remember when he was getting into it recently? And he was like, Skip, I can't even get through my whole line. Like, you know what? That's it. Yeah, Skip said, put your glasses on. That's the only time I seen him get mad. But I tell you what, my man was looking brolic in the cardigan. He was up there looking yoked. Like,
I was just like, if that was like a normal fan, though, like he would have been banned from the crypto.com. He wouldn't have been able to come back to his seat. Like all of that shit, I'm just like, yo, like as a fan of the game at some point, I know you're Shannon Sharp, but you got to chill out, cuz. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you can't be trying to fight like the Memphis Grizzlies as a fan on the court. Nah. I don't care who you are or what kind of Hall of Famer you are. Like, you got, come on, man. You got to chill out a little bit.
That's real talk. He had an apology. Actually, was watching on the way home, and he apologized to everybody. He apologized.
Oh, did he?
Ron, Lakers, Crypto Arena, Dylan Brooks, John Morant's dad, and you could tell he had some sobering thoughts when he actually got to look at it from a bird's eye view, because you know it's one thing to be in it and have the tension high, but I think once he was removed and saw the viral clips, that's when he realized like how bad it looked. And somebody made a good point to me. They were like, you know, the NBA is in this this very unique place that they have never been in regards to its relationship between players and those close to the court. And we've seen guys be like, hey, yo, ref, right there, get him out. He said something crazy. Or nah, she tripping, man. Hey, she drunk. She said something flagrant, get him out. And they're kicking people out the game. So somebody was like, Yo, why? If Dylan Brooks would have looked at him, do you think they would have kicked out Sharp? Or was he even worried about that? And he made a valid point. Like, you know, Sharp was one of those. He was one of those people. You know what I'm saying?
He was one of those people in the moment. And like you said, we are in a weird place where with the relationship between, you know, players on the court and got people getting too close. And it's been a lot of shit. But, like, and he's a fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, it's Shannon Sharp, Hall of Fame football player and all of that. But he's a basketball fan. We're right. basketball fans. I'm never going to go sit on the court and get into an argument with the guy going back and forth. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know. It just seemed a little too much for me as a fan.
He told Dylan Brooks he was too small to guard LeBron. And it's like, all right, you throw something out there once. Like, you know, I mean, you courtside, you pay $10,000 to say a little something, go ahead and throw it out there. But don't engage. Like, let that be, you know what I'm saying? And like, and Shannon, I think after sitting down and listening to all of the whispers around this, what would he have done as a player if he was caught a ball and then he ran to the sideline and was sitting there right at the barrier of some opposing team's field and somebody looked at him and was like, you're an effing bum. You suck. Like, the linebackers are going to body you. Like, he would probably lose it. So, that's a learning lesson for all of us, man. That isn't a good look. It isn't a good look.
Is there any chance it was a bit? Do we think there's any chance it was a bit?
I don't think so.
Part of me that was like, hey, yo, Shannon's getting a lot of pub lately. And I was theatrical.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, was that whole beef with Skip real? Like,
right.
I don't know.
I don't think the beef with Skip was real. I think they made that up when Damar Hamlin and then Skip tweeted that, and then he stayed off the show. I think that was all made up, for sure. But I think this right here, I don't think this was made up.
Yeah,
I think this was for real. Because if you see the way Steven Adams walked over there, it's like, you know what I'm saying? He was like, they was getting ready to thump.
Hey,
like, it was about to go down.
Hey, Aquaman was about to put them hands on him.
It was about to go down, dog.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. Listen, hey, when I was watching, I was like, okay, Shannon probably beat up him. All right, I don't think Ja really wants them problems. He's a little skinny, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Ja Morant's dad, Usher.
Usher
Senior out there.
Yeah.
He might get washed with the skinny jeans. I don't know.
He choked the shit out of T. Morant, bro.
Then when Steven Adams walked over there, I said, hey, Shannon, you better sit your ass down.
See, Steven Adams is a little different than those other dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. All right, Nate. So we know you're a big hoops fan.
Yeah.
Is there right now, as you look at the landscape of the league, do you have any strong conviction around who's going to be in the finals or any team that you think is overhyped, underhyped? Like, is there any, like, you know, Nate Burleson hot takes on the NBA right now?
Well, shout out to my brother, Kevin Burleson. He's the head coach of the Vipers, the G League team. He was on the Timberwolves staff, but they came knocking at his door, pulled him off the assistant staff. But when I'm looking at the landscape of the league, you know, first, LeBron is always exciting to watch because, you know, there's moments where he's coasting and then there's moments where he can turn it on. And I didn't think that at this age, he had that gear to him still. I thought he was going to transition to more of a Karl Malone, the kid, you know, mid-range and being more physical. But then when I watched him in person, I'm like, yeah, LeBron's still the king, still the juice. I remember the young dude said, hey, man, you played my dad. Yeah. And then LeBron dropped 45. That's how you shut up everybody. But then when it comes to favorites, like, I just like that the Golden State Warriors at any time could be the deadliest team in the business. Now, I know they've been dealing with injuries and guys being in and out of the lineup, but when you have a young gun like Jordan Poole, who is as incredible of his talent that we've seen in quite some time, and Steph Curry still the coldest shooter we've ever seen, Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, regardless of what you may say about him, if you look at the intangibles, that dude does it all on the basketball court. That's still one of my favorites. I don't care about regular season records. Like,
yeah.
And it's just like the NFL nowadays. The regular season does not matter to me. It's all about who's healthy in the postseason and who's riding the momentum wave. After that, I'm not passionate about any particular squad. I'm always curious about what's going on with the Nets just because Kevin Durant, and I'm a Seattle guy, so I want to see if they can finish strong. And I like Jacque Vaughn. I like him as a player, so I love him as a coach. And I just hope he has some success, because I really think that guys play for him a lot harder than they did for Nash.
Yeah, and you know what? Even you could see Kyrie really connects with Jock.
Yep.
That's made a big difference, because Kyrie is playing some of the best basketball I have ever seen him play. Like,
you're right about that.
Making guys better, like really defending. He locked Steph up this week.
Even I'm not saying he hasn't been a leader before, but there's more growth in his leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with KD being down right now.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. It's funny you mentioned Jock. The most excited I've ever seen CC, and some of our audience has heard this story before, but most excited I've ever seen C get was when we ran into Jock Vaughn randomly at the Nets practice facility a few years ago. He's like, yo, wait, you're Jock Vaughn.
That was my guy, bro, watching him in Kansas. That was my guy.
He was
the man.
Hey, I remember that. So, man, college was fun and it was intense. You know what I'm saying? I remember, there's another name. Just when I think of Jock, I think of a guy in that era. Randolph Childress at Wake Forest was a monster. He was like a young Steph Curry. But yeah, that era, and I was a point guard in high school. So that's why all these point guards come to mind when I think about basketball.
Nate, is there, as we get ready, we know the championship games are set on CBS. Obviously, you guys have the AFC championship game, and you'll have a rematch of Chiefs-Bengals. NFC, we're going to have Eagles-Niners. But before looking ahead to those games, is there any sort of storyline, narrative that has gained steam out of the divisional weekend that you think is, you know, unfair, not right? Like anything that's like kind of like really at the forefront of your mind, or something maybe on the flip side that you have great conviction in after watching what you watched this past weekend?
I believe that we should stop saying Mr. Irrelevant when referring to Brock Purdy.
Man.
Dude's legit. And you can say what you want. Well, you know, it's a good system. And Kyle Shanahan, he's really putting the offense, you know, in a good place for him. He's teeing it up for him. You know, he has George Kittle and Debo's back. It's like you're looking for Christian McCaffrey. Bro, none of that matters. You still need a quarterback with some gusto. Somebody that can go out there, run the offense, has leadership qualities about him, and then extend the pocket too. Like, he's 7-0 and taking care of the rock. Like, think about this for a second. Towards the end of the season, we were criticizing two of the highest paid quarterbacks in football, Josh Allen and Dak Prescott, because they had reckless interceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, there were games where Josh Allen threw the ball away a lot in the red zone towards the end of the year, which was strange. And then Dak Prescott have one really good game, and then he throw a pick or two. Saying that about those two guys. Should he be saying that about some dude named Brock Purdy? Like, shouldn't have we been going into every San Francisco game saying, hey, man, let's hope that Brock Purdy he doesn't turn the ball over. Fans were saying that about Dak and Josh, not Brock. That goes to show you right there that the football world has already recognized that he makes good decisions with the ball in his hand. Has he been perfect? No. Has there been opportunities for defense to pick him off? Yes. But when it comes to him starting first quarter all the way through the fourth, he's taking care of the rock. And if you look at the relationship he has with Kittle, a young quarterback's best friend is a good tight end, because they're an extension of the offensive line. They work in the interior, in between the numbers. And that's exactly what the offense is. They work inside out, Kittle to Debo, and then Ayuk. After that, they're going downhill with the running backs, which is also Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. So the whole Mr. Irrelevant thing is cute. You know, maybe it's good for him. He's getting some endorsements, but my dude is proven to be a legit quarterback. And if he messes around and beats the Eagles and then wins a Super Bowl, we will not see Trey Lance on the field next year. And they'll probably deal Garoppolo, or maybe even deal Trey Lance and then keep Garoppolo as the wily vet. So Brock Purdy, I just like what he's doing. And then Cincinnati Bengals, you know, there's been words that have described this team as good, tough, disciplined. But the one that I love the most is cocky. Like, that's a cocky squad, bro. And I know, like, sometimes that word has negative connotations to it, but it's just like, I know you saw that clip of Joe Burrow in the pregame where he throws the little warm-up pass and he kind of spins around on his foot. He just, and it's in slow motion, and it's like 4K camera angle. And this is a dude about to play one of the biggest games of his career, and he's just as cool as ever. And then you got Ja'Marr Chase, who is just gritty in every time he scores. And if you don't like it, stop him, but you can't because you can't stop him. And then the defense. The defense is just flying around playing well. You know, I like the fact that Zach Taylor, the coach, came out and said, man, I don't care who's favorite. I don't care if we are. I don't care if they are. We don't look at none of that. And then Joe Burrow, I'm paraphrasing, he said something along the lines this week that, you know, we're always a contender for a championship as long as I'm here.
Yeah.
Window's always open.
The window's always open. Windows are, and then Tracy Wolfson on CBS, like, hey, so, you know, what about them selling tickets to the neutral site game? And without even hesitating, as soon as she put the mic up to him, he said, better give those refunds back. I like that. That's a team that doesn't care. So yeah, now you're facing a hobbled Patrick Mahomes. And not only that, you beat these guys.
The last three times.
Game. You know what I'm saying? Last three times. In the same game last year, at the same place, we're returning to the scene of the crime. And listen, the Chiefs are great, bro. They were doing the ring around the rosy earlier this year. I look at them because they strike so fast, so quick, and so entertaining. I look at them like, you remember Roy Jones Jr. in his prime, where it's like you knew you was going to get a show and you might get a knockout. Either way, you were just so thoroughly entertained by greatness. But if the Chiefs are Roy Jones Jr., who are the Bengals?
Antonio Tarver.
Nice.
Antonio Tarver.
Nice.
And I'm going to tell you this. I keep saying this. Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the NFL. And if he beats Patrick Mahomes again, I'm gonna put him as the best quarterback in the game.
The best QB?
If he's gonna beat him four times in a row.
That's
twice in the AFC Championship game. Like, this kid has taken the Cincinnati Bengals, into one of the best franchises in the NFL. Like, it's insane what he's been able to do, really.
Nah, you're right. If you look at, I think they've been to the playoffs more times since he's been here than they've been in the last, like.
He's already got more wins than Boomer Esiason and everybody else in the organization.
That's wild, bro. Yeah, nah, you know what? As you were saying it, it sounded like a crazy take, but I'm all in on that. CC, I'm all in on that.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm all in on that.
I don't know where do you put him if he beats Mahomes again? Like, where does he, you know what I'm saying? He has to be number one.
That's a fact. I'm with you on that.
It's unbelievable. And what you said, C, resonates so much. Like, just the idea of this franchise, which was a perpetual loser, we now look at it as like, oh, no, that's the team you don't want to see in a big game.
Right.
Like,
right. You know,
like
how about that? The Bengals.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals, like, with two draft picks. You know what I'm saying? You draft Ja'Marr Chase and you draft Joe Burrow. Back-to-back years, and now you ascend to one of the best teams in the NFL because of these two guys and their cockiness that they bring to your city. Yeah.
The wild thing is, like, they didn't really have a preseason because I think Joe Burrow had an appendectomy. And they didn't really get any real reps in the preseason, so they were figuring it out in the beginning, and they were looking bad. That's because they were literally knocking off the rust the first few games. And I remember Joe Burrow was like, you know, we'll be all right. We'll figure it out. And I'm like, I don't know, Joe, bro. The AFC North is nasty. The AFC West is nasty. And he was just like, nah, you know, we're good. We're good. And hey, sure enough, them boys figured it out.
Yeah. You know what? But another thing, too, I think the Niners should trade Trey Lance. Keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Because what you were saying about not turning the ball over is what we were saying about Jimmy Garoppolo. The Niners got a chance to win the Super Bowl as long as Jimmy don't turn the ball over. But, like, this kid is not scared. And I feel like that's all you have to be as a quarterback in a great system is just be able to stand in there and deliver the ball in the pocket. And he's not scared to do that. And he's got all those weapons around him. And he's got the pocket integrity to be able to fucking use the weapons.
That's real.
So keep that guy. Trade Trey Lance and keep Jimmy as your backup.
And you'll get a lot for Trey Lance because he's so young. And we haven't seen enough of him where you can still sell him high.
Yep.
Because he still has a lot of potential.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's great. Nate, want to let you go in a second. Giving us so much time, we appreciate it. I do want to say at some point when we get you back on, we're going to have to talk about how the rest of your family is just killing it too. the athletic sons you have, your media star daughter, your
we got to show the clip. Ati, you got to find the clip of Nate dunking on Nate Jr. Had a crazy dunk a couple weeks ago at Ramapo.
A big win against Bergen Catholic.
That was against Bergen Catholic. It was against Bergen.
Climbed the ladder on him. I was like, oh, baby.
It was a big one.
I thought I was at the Rucker Park. I ran out the field and ran back in. For a second, I had to chill out. I'm like, man, he caused too much attention.
Those that's listening, Ramapo and Bergen, it's a big rivalry in Jersey. So, it's a big game. The gym looked packed. And I saw that video. It looked crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy, bro. Proud dad.
Well, as you should be, your wife also a star in her own right in the podcast space and motivational speaker, was a track star in college, of course. And so when we get back on, we'll have to do a deeper dive into the family. Nate, real quick, have you released or do you have a prediction yet for what happens this weekend with these two games?
Nah, I haven't released it, but I'll say it right now.
All right.
It's hard for me to say this, but I feel like the Niners got something special. So I got Brock Purdy keeping this thing rolling, beating Philly, Eagles in Philadelphia, which is such an uphill battle, and then Cincinnati. I think if Mahomes was healthy, I would go Patrick, but he was hot. Yeah. And it's supposed to drop to around 15 degrees at the coldest point of the night. So imagine if a big fella falls on his leg or his ankle and he has to get up and tough it out. Mahomes is good because he can throw it off of any pivot, but he's great when he can move.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think you're on to something there, Nate. That's
so you like both road teams. That's
unique.
I was in Philly last week and that atmosphere was insane. It's gonna be tough for the night.
This is the biggest test for Brock Purdy. He's faced, you know, good defenses. He's beat some good defenses, but he's never faced a crowd like Philly. You know what I mean? You know, like certain cities you play in, you got to beat the team and the
fans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. And you don't know that until you get in that environment.
That's a fact.
Let's just say after wearing Yankees gear in Philadelphia at the 09 World Series, I will never, ever go to a game in Philadelphia again in a road team garb.
Hey, Ruko Pekka's took his jersey off when we was leaving the stadium. See? He was like, oh, no, I'm taking this off.
Pekka's a big dude.
Yeah, he took that shit off, and we were running down the ramp, Kez.
Exactly. It is not, my friend texts me, he's like, I actually am scared for all the naive, young 20-year-old Giant fans who are making this trip this weekend.
They're brutal there. They are brutal.
Nate, you are the man. Congratulations on all your success. Thank you so much for giving us so much time. And enjoy the games this weekend and keep killing it on CBS.
Anytime. Let's talk soon, man.
Sounds appreciate good. Thanks, talking. Nate.
All right, y'all.
Just a terrific conversation with Nate. I can't wait for us to get him back on. He's so smart, so interesting, and so good at his job. And I tend to agree with him. I think we're going to get a Niners-Bengals Super Bowl, but we shall see. I think we're all looking forward to these games this weekend. And I'm glad that CC made it out of Philadelphia with his friends alive, quite frankly, because that place is a different level of chaos when it comes to playoff football. You guys know the deal. New episodes every Thursday. Bonus episodes as well. Make sure you're following us on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube page, R2C2. It's free to subscribe, so there's no reason not to do it. You can download our podcast on any platform where you get your podcast. So make sure you're subscribing, rating, reviewing. It all makes a difference. And shout out to the fans I met in Salt Lake City who came up to me to tell me how much they love R2C2. We love that. It means the world to us, and we love connecting with all of you. So thank you. Big ups to Atta and Sadie for all the work they do on the pod, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the championship games, everybody. Peace.